No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared so much for me. No one else could take my sin and darkness from me. I'm so glad he cares for me. I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since in him I've found a friend so true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend can do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared so much for me. No one else could take my sin and darkness from me. I'm so glad he cares for me. More and more of Christ, the King from heaven above, came down where I was and loved me with his love. He took my sin and woe and gave me his life. It makes me want to know more and more of Christ, more and more of him, so wonderful and grand. He is the Son of God, and yet the Son of Man, the one and only one who could atone for sin, be buried in a tomb, and then rise up again, now exalted high. Tell me more and more, more and more of Christ. More and more of Christ, the lover of my soul. His love is better far than pure wine or fine gold. His eyes are fixed on me. His love is my delight. It makes me want to see more and more of Christ, more and more of him, so wonderful and grand. He is the Son of God, and yet the Son of Man, the one and only one who could atone for sin, be buried in a tomb, and then rise up again, now exalted high. Tell me more and more, more and more of Christ. Now exalted high. Tell me more and more, more and more.
Nobody like him. Oh, aren't you glad? I was talking about earlier about being saved when you got saved. I don't know the year I got saved or the date I got saved. I know it was on Sunday. I think it was in 71. I believe it was. That's sometime in there, 71 or 2. I was 12, about 12 years old. And I came to church that morning. I really wasn't looking for the Lord. I was really disturbed. I was mean as a snake, I know that. My mom and dad, they always made us go to church. You had to go to church at our house. You didn't have an option. I mean, you went. It's just you didn't debate about where you went to church or not. You tell my dad you wasn't going to church, you'd lose your head. I mean, he'd take your head off. And that morning I went to church, and that morning the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I was sitting right back there that morning. We had a visitor preacher. I couldn't even tell you what he preached about. I don't even know. I know he preached a hard message that morning. And when he gave an invitation, I couldn't wait for him to hush. I thought, man, I wish that guy would shut up. And as soon as he hushed, I came down the aisle. We had a mourner's bench in those days at the church, just one of those benches that sat right here, a little short one. I stuck my head right in the corner of that bench. I said, Lord, I want you to save me. I don't know where the Lord saved me. When I stood up back there, when I stepped out in the aisle, when I walked down, when I prayed, I don't know. I was willing to do anything that morning to get saved. I know this. I've never been the same boy since that day. I've done a lot of things I shouldn't do, and I'm not proud of a lot of things I've done. But I'm telling you, I've never been the same since that morning. If that's never happened to you, I'm telling you, that's a good thing for God to do in your life. And thank God for that. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And we're going to look here at verses 20 or 31 down through verse 35. Luke chapter 13. I feel so unworthy to try to preach to you tonight. There's so many good preachers in this room, and your pastor is a great preacher. I'm telling you, I was over there at Brother Henry's church back at the old-fashioned fellowship meeting, and Brother Eddie Davis last month or last time I was here, he preached here at the church. That really helped me. That was a great message. And he preached that morning. Brother Barry preached that day. Man, I'll tell you what, that was great. And I just feel so unworthy to even try to speak to you tonight. And Brother Barry, he called and asked me to come. And he said, God has laid you on my heart.
Yes, sir.
So tonight, if you don't like this, blame God, okay? And Brother Barry. But anyway, I'm going to do the very best I can. You pray and ask the Lord to help me. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do curse today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perishes out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoned them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, I'll not ask you to turn, but I'm going to look tonight at Matthew chapter 23, beginning verse 37 there, and just read a few verses there, and listen to what the Bible says here. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stone them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, here a few months ago, matter of fact, back in March of last year, January, February, March, April, April of last year, I preached a series of messages at the church, and I used over there in Ezekiel the image that Ezekiel saw of that of those four living creatures and also those four beasts that John saw in the book of Revelation. And one of them was looking this way, one was looking that way. And in that vision there that they saw, there was a calf and a man, and there was an eagle, and there was an ox. And I preached a series of messages about that. Matter of fact, I started to preach that first message to you about that tonight, but I was more impressed as I looked through that that I would give you this message. Now, in that series of messages, I preached a message one Sunday night on how Jesus is like a chicken. Now, you say, preacher, that's a very unusual saying, but if you'll listen to me tonight prayerfully, I'm going to tell you, this message will be a blessing to you. I believe that with all my heart. Now, here in Luke chapter 13, this same scripture is given in Matthew chapter 23. Now, the words are exactly the same, but they happen on two different occasions. One happened when Jesus began his earthly ministry, and one was at the end of his earthly ministry. And Jesus said, "How oft, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together unto thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and ye would not." Now, with that in mind tonight, I'm going to get my thought from that. Jesus likes himself to a hen. Now, you know, you may be around people and they may say things like this to you. People said things like this to me. They say, "You are a chicken." Well, in essence, that's not a good thing in one sense of the word. Now, if they're daring you to do something you shouldn't be doing, that may be different. But have you ever been called a chicken before? Well, I'm going to tell you, you'll have a whole different idea about that once you leave tonight. I promise you, if you'll listen. But sometimes that's a negative thing to say that about someone. But something you may not know is that chickens are very intelligent creatures. Do you know a chicken can remember 100 different faces? They do better than I can. I mean, they could pick out 100 different people and know who each one of those people are. 100 different people. Did you know a chicken sees in full color? Like other animals, deer and things like that, they see black and white. But a chicken sees in full color. That's the reason why if you have little chickens, little doodles, we call them back in the country, and they peck on each other. If one of them gets a bloody spot on their head, they'll kill it. And the reason why, they see that red dot. And that's the reason why people put them under a red light, and therefore they can't see that red dot. And so that they don't kill the chicken. But anyway, they see in full color, and they can remember 100 faces. And Jesus here in this passage, he uses this phrase, and he said to them, "How oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her brood?" He compares himself to a hen, to a chicken. Now, that is a female gender of the chickens of fowl. You know, he didn't say that I would gather you like a rooster or like a little chick, like a doodle, but he said like a hen, like the female gender of those chickens. Now, Jesus pictures himself here as a hen. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. I'm not trying to degender the Bible. There's a lot of people today who try to do that and say that God is a female and all those kind of things. God's God, but that's not the purpose here. The reason I brought that up is to say this to you. Jesus himself sometimes, many times, pictures himself as a father, but many times in the Bible he pictures himself as a mother. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you." He pictures himself on the female side there. Aren't you glad our God can do that? Now, listen, the point I'm trying to make to you tonight is this, that God is comparing us to a family of chickens. We are the little chickens, and he is the big chicken. He compares himself to a relationship of a brood, little doodles. I don't know what you call them. You may call them biddies or whatever you call them. When I grew up in the country, we always called them doodles. What do y'all call them? Chicken nuggets. Amen. Praise God. But anyway, we called them doodles. My wife loves little chickens. The other day, I was down at Rural King down in Knoxville, and they had that light on all those chickens. And she come and got me, found me in the store. She said, "Come out here. I want to show you something." And she took me and she showed me all those little bitty chickens that were running around. She loves those chickens. When we were growing up, our chickens were kind of free roaming chickens. I mean, they were everywhere. And in the summertime, when it could start getting springtime, you'd see that chicken come out and she'd be all fuzzed up and she'd have those little bitty doodles with her and they'd just be running all over the place. Now, God compares himself to that. Now, I'm going somewhere, so don't stop me here. Please don't change channels on me, because I got a lot of good things I want to talk to you about tonight. So please don't change channels on me right here, okay? Just stay with me for a few minutes. And if it gets bad, it's so bad you can leave if you want to. But anyway, just watch this, okay? Jesus says here, I'm the big chicken and ye are the little chickens. I'm glad to be part of his little chickens. Amen. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk to you first of all tonight about this thought. The confronting way of Jesus, the mother chicken. The confronting way of Jesus. Look with me here in verse 31 of this chapter. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, they're saying to Jesus, get thee out and depart thence, for Herod will kill thee. Now I want you to see here that they said to him, Herod is going to kill you. You better run for your life. He had already killed John the Baptist. He had had his head cut off. And these were not empty threats. This man was a powerful man. And these were not just empty threats that he had. But notice what Jesus says to them in verses 32 and 33. He says, Jesus said, and he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. I do curse today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perishes out of Jerusalem. Jesus says, you go back and you tell that old fox, you tell that fox that I've cast out devils, I've healed the sick, I'm here today, I'm going to be here tomorrow, and you can't do anything about it, and I'm going to be like that till I go to Calvary and give my life on the cross of Calvary. Listen to me. Listen, Jesus says to him, Jesus really was somebody who had courage as he faced that. Now I'm going to tell you something. You may not believe this tonight, but a chicken's not afraid. They're really not too afraid. If you think they are, you get around some fighting roosters. They're not too afraid of you. They'll spur you. They'll fight. I mean, you throw two down here on the ground, they'll be a fighting. Now, I'm not telling you to fight chickens, but I'm just telling you I've been around a little bit of that, okay? They're not afraid. I'm going to tell you something else. A mother chicken's not afraid. I mean, I've seen them attack big animals before. They got those little bitty chickens around, and once something gets around them, a predator, they're not afraid of them, Brother Barry. I mean, they'll attack anything. They're not afraid of that. Now, I know some people that are afraid of chickens. My brother-in-law's scared to death of chickens. Don't tell him I said that. Not Jack back here, but I'll not tell you which one, but they're scared to death of chickens. Jesus is telling us here, listen, don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Jesus is not a pansy. Jesus is not afraid. He is not a long-haired, feminine sissy that Raphael painted. Jesus is somebody who is not afraid. Listen, he cast out devils. He confronted demons. Jesus is the big chicken. He's not afraid, and we ought to act like we're part of the family. If he is the mother, we ought to be children who act like it and not be afraid. I believe that God's people ought to have courage. I believe you and I today ought to have courage. We're living in a day that if we don't get some boldness about us, we're going to be in trouble. Listen, we should fear nothing but the Lord. The only thing you ought to be afraid of tonight is the Lord. And I'm not telling you ought to go around just bullying people and that kind of thing. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you to get this attitude like I'd whoop the world. I'm not talking about that. But I am telling you this, we do need some courage. We need some holy boldness. We need some not fear in our life. Listen, God help us today that we'd have some courage. I believe we need some preachers with some courage. There's pastors today who are scared to death of their churches. Now, I tell them at church, and tell you the truth, I preach this message at church. I have more trouble on this message than any message I ever preach at church. It's crazy. I told them this right here. I said, listen, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of my, and I tell them right now, if they want to listen to it, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of deacons of church. I thank God for the men at church. They're good people, but I'm not afraid of them. Hey, listen, when it comes to preaching, they're not going to tell me what to preach, when to preach, or where to preach. Hey, listen, I'm telling you tonight, we need some preachers who won't be afraid of the churches. I know preachers who are scared to death of their churches. They're scared to death of deacons. They're scared to death of their wives. Amen. They're scared to death. I'm telling you, we need to get some courage in our lives. Even worse than that, they're scared to death of their children. I can't understand why a five-year-old boy can pull a grown man around. Can you? I'm getting that same kind of spirit I felt that night when I was preaching at church. I don't understand why a little old boy can tell his mom and dad what to do. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. This might get you in trouble, but I'm going to tell you something. If it gets to the point that you can't help them, time out may not be what they need. Amen. My dad, I believe he could take any five-year-old boy and turn his life around in a matter of a short amount of time. When I was a little old boy, my dad was pretty tough. When I was a little old boy growing up, we had a farm, and we always farmed. My dad would buy these trucks. They were always nice. He'd always take the bed off of them and put a flatbed on them. You know why? Because you haul more stuff on it. You haul more stuff on a flatbed than you can on one of these little step-side bed trucks. I never could understand that. So we had one of these flatbed trucks. One day we were going down in the holler to work. We were going down there to work in the tobacco patch. And I know some of you don't like that too much, but we put out a lot of tobacco. I'm not telling you that's what y'all do, but I'm just telling you that's what we did back in them days. That's how we made a living. Some people made whiskey. We made tobacco. Say amen right there. I'm kidding. But anyway, I was sitting on the back of that truck. And while I was riding, you know how in the summer, how the road gets washboardy? It got real washboardy, and we was going up this hill, and we was going up that hill, and I was sitting around the edge, and I got to doing this right here. And I went right off the back of that truck, fell right on the road about 4 foot there. I mean, it hurt bad. My dad saw me in the mirror back there. He slammed on the brakes. He come running back down there where I was. I thought he's going to pick me up and love me and say, "Oh, son, are you okay?" You know what he did? He picked me up and wore me out. I'm not telling you that's what y'all do. I'm just telling you that's what he did. He picked me up and he wore me out. I mean, he set me on fire. And then he got me by the shoulders. My dad's a big old guy. He got me by the shoulders. He brought me back up that truck right up on the front. He set me down right there. And listen, I tell you what you say, does it work? Well, I never have fell off no more trucks. Say amen right there. We need some courage in raising our children. We need some courage in our churches. We got to have some courage. Listen, this world is bold. I'm telling you, this world is bold. They're taking over. These homosexuals are bold. Somebody's got to stand up. I'm telling you, we need some courage in this day and age we live in. We need somebody who will stand up. I believe that. You know, the church is scared to death of the government. They're afraid you're going to lose your tax exemption. Well, I don't want to do that, but I'm telling you what, listen, I'm not going to stop preaching against sin. I don't care what they do. Say amen right there. So we need to understand tonight that we need to be like the Lord in that sense, that we need a confronting way the Lord dealt with that problem. He said to Herod, "You go tell that fox." Think about that. You go tell him a fox is something that's a nuisance to chickens. He said, "You go tell that fox. I'm going to do what God sent me here to do till it's over with." Second thing I want to say to you is this. Notice the calling words of Jesus in verse 34. It says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto me, how oft would I have gathered you, have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, but you would not." Now think about this. Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He called Jerusalem. He says, "Come unto me." Listen, I believe tonight that the Lord is calling. Chickens have a significant way to communicate with their little ones. I don't know if you understand this or not, but when that little chicken is in that egg being hatched and that mama is sitting on that nest, that little chicken is listening to that mama And they have at least 30 calls that they give. At least 30 calls that they get aware of. You say, what kind of call would that be? Well, it would be something like this. It's time to feed. It'd be something like this. It's time to, a storm's coming. A predator is around. There's danger. There's a snake. There's a fox. There's a hawk. There's a fox. There's something around. You say, you mean it does all those calls? Yes, it does all those calls. Now, Jesus says to Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he called to them. We call that a double call. We find that in the Bible. We find that double call that Jesus gave that out in the Bible. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. We also find that double call was to a man named Abraham. He said, Abraham, Abraham, I want you to get up from here and go where I'll show you. A double call came to Saul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That double call came to Simon Peter when it says, Simon, Simon, that Satan has desired that he would have that. He may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. He said that to Martha, Martha, Martha. When God calls your name, I'm telling you something, especially twice, he's trying to get your attention. We call that the double call. The first call may be all the time. It may be a call of preaching, or it may be a call of teaching, or it may be a call of taking a track, or it may be a call of somebody sharing God's word with you. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes there's a second call. This brother talked tonight about his mom and dad. There's many times, J. Harold Smith's one of my closest friends. He's talking about tonight how his mom and dad raised him right in church, and he had prayed the sinner's prayer and made those professions of faith, but nothing happened. You know what? You know what? There's a lot of people tonight, they have a general call. They've heard that call, and I'm not telling you that people can't be saved. God's not trying to play keep away from you, but I'm telling you this, there are times you can come to God a lot easier than you can other times. That morning when I sat right back there in church, I'm telling you, God called out to me and he said, Terry, Terry, and I heard that call. Hey, listen, I walked that aisle. I gave my heart to Jesus and the Lord changed my life. Listen, I'm telling you, God is calling us. He's calling us. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Praise God for that. God gives us that call. Come unto me. Jesus is saying, come unto me. But once we come to know the Lord, that calling doesn't stop. That doesn't stop. Listen to this verse. This is a real familiar verse. You've heard this hundreds of times. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen, I'm called according to the purpose of God. I'm called. Listen, you are called. The church, the word ecclesia, is mentioned 96 times in the New Testament. What does that word mean? It means those that are called out, the called out ones. There's something that we have tonight that calls us. God has called us. And when God calls you, listen, you always hear His voice. I remember over there in the country, here'd come this black chicken out. She'd have a bunch of those little bitty doodles following her around, maybe 10 or so. And they'd just be running around chirping everywhere. And she'd be going around cluck, 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 cluck. And those chickens, wherever she'd go, they'd go. That chicken would start over there. Those little chickens would get over there out of the way somewhere. You'd hear her doing that cluck thing. They'd be right back there. Hey, listen, since God saved me, hey, listen, somebody don't have to knock me on the head to get me to go to church. Hey, listen, every Sunday morning I hear that cluck, cluck, cluck. It's time to go to church. I hear the call of the Lord. Every time, listen, I start to go astray. I hear that clucking of the Lord. Hey, listen, He's calling us tonight. He's calling you. He's calling you to do a work for Him. Hey, listen, the Lord is calling Brother Joey, and we need to listen to that call. Isn't that great? Jesus said to those people, how oft How oft would I have gathered you together? I've called, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her brood, but you would not. There's no irresistible grace there. And there's no fatalism there. God said, I would, but you wouldn't. He said, I called, I would, but you wouldn't come. You know what? I'm telling you tonight, God's calling. He'd save us if we'd turn to Him. I believe God would save people if they turned to Him, don't you? I don't believe anybody in here tonight God wouldn't save if you would come to Him. And you'd say, God, I'm a lost, hell-deserving sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I need you to save me. If you don't save me, I'm going to be lost forever. That's the reason He died, friend. He died to save you. He's calling. He's calling you. I'm glad of that, aren't you? There's no generation that has ever been heard more than our generation. America is the most blessed nation in the world. There's no nation ever been blessed like our nation. Hey, listen, God is calling you tonight. God's calling out to our nation. Now He's screaming at our nation. There's no nation been called like our call. I mean, God is calling to us. I love this country. I don't know about you, but I'm a flag waver. I love Thanksgiving when we pray and July 4th and Labor Day and picnics, ants and hungry flies and barbecues and hot French fries and Cokes and chips and apple pies beneath some lazy, hazy skies. I love Betsy Ross and Orville Wright and Dear Ben Franklin's Flying Kite and Thomas Jefferson's Monty Quill and the Alamo and Bunker Hill and Paul Revere's Midnight Ride and Wilbur Wright's Successful Glide. I love Casey Stengel, Stingalees and Dairy Queens and Tasty Freeze and Cotton Candy at the Zoo and Corny Dogs and Big Macs too and Burger King's and Shopping Mall and Hockey Puck and Basketball. I love Atlanta's lovely dogwood trails and Santa Fe's long clicking rails. I love the Rocky Mountain peaks beneath the sky that mutely speaks in Disney World and Disneyland, Georgia's fertile red blood sand, the Mississippi and the Rio Grande, Wisconsin's cheese and dairy lands. I love McDonald's chocolate shakes. Minnesota's Thousand Lake and the Royal Gorge's Monte Yon, the sleepy Alabama Dome, the harvest moon that shineth on. I love America. I love to stand with hand or heart and think of those who did their part, who left their moms a long gold star, whose bodies rest in fields afar. I love New England's rolling farms, its quiet decor and blushing charms. I love the azaleas fresh in bloom, East Texas roses sparkling flume. I love it when my church choir sings, and I know the peace that worship brings. There beats within my heart a breast, a small, faint, flickering gleam will soon become a mighty flame spreading to all His matchless name. That those before who call me Dad, Tara and Sean and Caleb, will know the country I've had. Yes. Where freedom's flag flies proud and high, and those dear ones can loudly cry, I'm free! My dad helped make it so. That small faint gleam is now glow. That Christian land that he once knew is now the land that I know too. God's judging hand has now been stayed. So I and mine are not afraid. We're free to visit, witness, teach the same dear truths we heard Dad preach. So now I vow to God above to pass it on to those I love. I love America. I love this great land. But I'm telling you, it's like a truck on an unsure bridge. It's shaking. It's shaking. God's calling. God's calling. He's saying, listen, you people better wake up. You better open up your eyes. I would gather you. I would call you back if you would just come. I would gather you like a hen gathers her brood if you would come. God is calling. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 16 says, and the Lord God of those of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, raise up betime, that's early and often. Verse 16 says, make the messengers despise the word, misuse the prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people, till there was no remedy. That's America. That's America. there's coming a day, if we're not already there, that it'll be too late. How many of you has God called? Listen, you can get so hard, God will say, I'm done. In the book of Romans, God said, I gave them up. I gave them up. And then he said, I gave them over. And when he gave them over, it was too late. When God gives you over to a reprobate mind, it's over for you. I'm telling you, friend, you are blessed. The people in this room are blessed tonight. You know the Lord. You still feel his touch. You still have a conscience. God still deals with you. The Holy Spirit still knocks on your heart's door. Listen, I don't know what the devil's trying to tell you, but there's a call going out to you today. You better heed that call. This preacher better heed that call. I better do what God would have me to do. How many churches have heard the gospel so much, so much? There's so much truth. There's so much going out today. Not only in this message tonight, I want you to see the confronting way Jesus, the mother hen, confronts that way, that courage he has. But the second thing I want you to see is the calling word of Jesus, how he calls us. The third thing I'm going to say to you tonight, and we'll be through, is that covering wings. Notice verse 34 again. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killed the prophets, stone them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Her wings paints a picture of himself. Why do you think Jesus is calling? He's calling because he wants you to be close to him. That's why he's calling. He's calling you tonight because he wants you close to him. Those little chickens running around that mother hen. A storm is coming. And she starts doing that clucking thing and she puts those wings out. You've seen that, all you people on the farm. And those little chickens, they'll all run up and under her and she'll kind of squat down around those chickens. They're under that wing, they're near. God wants you to be near him tonight. God wants you near him tonight. He wants you close to him. You find this often in the book of Psalms that the Lord talks about his wings. He talks about the shadow of his wings. Israel, and in Israel, if you've ever been, you know it's a hot place. I've been down by, matter of fact, I'm thinking about the last time I went to Israel. I think it's the last time me and Vicki went together. And we were coming through Jericho and it was so hot and there were some sheep out there. And they were under some trees and they were panting. They were so hot. And God says, listen, I want to shelter you under my wings. It's hot. I want to give you some shade. I want to give you some help. Not only is there a shadow and a shelter, and there's a shield. He says, I want you to come under my wings. I want to shield you under my wings. Look in verse 33 here. Jesus says, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be the prophets perish out of Jerusalem. Listen, Jesus says, I'm going to go one day upon a cross and I'm going to give my life for the world. I'm going to spread my wings out for the world. I was trying to find today. I meant to do this. I meant to look this up. I forgot where it was at. And I had to go to the hospital just before I came. And so I kind of forgot about it. I tried to find it while we were singing there a little bit. I don't like to do that while we're singing or whatever, but I looked through some Bibles to try to find this. But I heard a man preach at Tony Finney's church one time, and it talked about God in the span of his hand. I hope I'm right about this. I believe I'm right. He talked about the span of his hand. I never will forget that, how that he made everything, how he made the world and all that with a span of his hand. It was such a good message. And then he said, do you know what a span is? He said, I want you to watch. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. And he had his hand like it right here, and he said, that's a span. Just with that little twitch of his finger, he can come the storm. He can create a mountain. He can cleanse a leper. He can just with a twitch of his finger. And he said, I got to thinking about that. What if God moved his hand? What if God did this? What if God did this? I want to tell you, God died upon that cross. When he did that, friend, I'm going to tell you, he provided salvation for this whole world. Shelter from the storm. Outstretched hands of the Lord. We're under his wings. Aren't you glad tonight? You're under the protection of God. I'll tell you something. I'd be a little nervous tonight if I didn't know there was a God in heaven watching over me. See, the devil, when I was 20 years old, I thought I could do anything. I started pastoring when I was 22 years old. Can you believe that? I mean, I can't even imagine anybody being 22 years old, being able to pastor. I mean, good grief. I look at you who are 22 years old. I know you can, but it's hard for me to imagine that. When I went to the church, I was in my 20s. I've been there this next month. I'll be there 30 years at the church. And the devil, he'll say things like this. When I first went there, well, I didn't think nothing about being old as I am. I had hair. Teeth. I wasn't crippled. I could walk around. I mean, it's great. The devil, he'll come to me and he'll say, listen, you know, people don't listen to your kind of preaching no more. And it won't be long. You're going to be pushed out. Yeah. You're not hardly old enough to retire yet, so it's going to be a little tough for you. Yeah. You know what? He's a big liar. Amen. You say, hey, you know, you've not even been there yet. That's right, but I know he lies. God's been good to me, and I believe I'm under his wing. Now, if I do this rebel deal, I don't know about that, but as long as I keep running under that wing, I tell you, I believe the Lord, he'll take care of that, Brother Barry. There was a fire somewhere out west, and it was getting closer to this house, and it's sweeping across the plains. And this man was watching that from his house. And he noticed the fire was getting closer and closer. And they even had to abandon the place and that kind of thing. The next day he was out there looking around after the fire had went by. And he was just going around his property. The house wasn't burnt. It saved it, but all the property around it was burnt. He was walking out there and he was looking around. And he saw this black thing laying on the ground, just a charred thing. He thought, man, that looks unusual. And he looked down there and he thought, that's a chicken. That's a chicken. That chicken has been consumed by this fire. And he kicked that chicken. And out from under that charred frame, some little doodles run out. I'm going to say to you tonight, God went to Calvary and he took my hell and he took my place. I don't have to worry about that because I'm under his wing. I'm sheltered under his wing tonight. Isn't that great? Hey, listen. Listen, you need the Lord tonight more than ever. The Lord says, come unto me. I wonder tonight if the Lord is walking out here on the hill of Rogersville and saying, oh, Rogersville, 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 Rogersville. How oft would I have gathered you? He may be calling this church tonight. Listen, is God calling you in this service tonight? Do you know that the Lord is calling you to come close to him? There's so many things that's pulling us away. There's nobody in this room knows any better about that than I do. Listen, you say, preacher, when do you ever get to the place where you can just kind of take it easy and kind of coast a little bit. Are you kidding? It gets tougher all the time. It's more tough now than it's ever been for me. To try to live for the Lord is tougher now than it's ever been. It's not that I don't love Him or that He doesn't love me or I understand that. But listen, there's pressure. There's always pressure. The devil is trying to take you away from what's good. Son, I'm going to tell you something. If the devil had his way, he'd destroy your life. He'd destroy your life 20 years from now. You wouldn't even recognize the depths of sin he'd take you in. Hey, listen, this family who I see here all the time, listen, the devil would like to destroy your life and these girls' lives. And this. He would destroy. 10 years from now, you wouldn't even recognize your family. Hey, listen, the devil's after you tonight. You better stay close to the Lord. The Lord's calling you. He's calling you. Your name could go there where He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Your name could be there. Barry, Barry. Terry, Terry. Vicky, Vicky. Joey, Joey. Amanda, Amanda. God's calling you tonight. In this time of invitation, I wish you would come and just find you a place here at the altar. Just find you a place and say, God, help me to never, ever stray from you. Lord, help me to stay right under the shadow of your wing. That's the most precious place I could be.